That's the plan. That's the plan. My wife and I are excited about it, and we'll be making the trip in May. So we're excited about that, and we're really thrilled over our partnership with Colette and of course Mecki at the Travel House. So yeah, kind of a new program for the chamber. But we're always good to go on a trip, right?
Oh yeah, and I think no matter what trip Mecki's selling, I always integrate myself into it immediately, thinking in my mind I'm already there, you know. And Sister City trip this year in July.
Oh.
And Belgium, Holland, Luxembourg.
Oh,
and Germany, of course. So I'm already
kind of
inserting myself mentally. Now, if I can just get my wallet to insert itself,
exactly.
That would be great.
That would
but,
help.
You know, I went to this travel thing that the Chamber did. You guys sold that trip out in half an hour.
It was amazing, the response we had, Mary. And matter of fact, though, we do have, I think we still, I just found out this is before the holidays, we had a couple cancellations.
Oh.
So if anybody's interested, please call Mecki at the Travel House. I think we still might have a few spots. I talked to her before the holidays, and I talked to the travel company, Colette, and there was a few spots available.
Well, that's good. I mean, there always is this chance that people will not be able to go. This trip also includes, if you want, an extra trip to Paris.
Yeah, you could.
Are you going on that?
No, I'm not doing that. My wife is scolding me about that, but you know, we're gonna keep to the regular trip. And
may I speak to your wife personally?
Don't
you don't need
that.
Bruce to go.
Well, that's
you
true.
Go.
That's
he
true.
Has to come back and work. You can go to Paris.
There you go.
See Notre Dame.
Exactly.
Wow. You know, Notre Dame. In a way, this is a terrible thing to say. When it burned, I thought, oh, I'll never get to see Notre Dame. I really didn't think they could get it done.
That's
I really
amazing,
didn't. Macron did a great job.
Yeah.
You know, Macron for president of the world.
Yes.
Just in that one area, if he can get that done in 5 years. He said, I'm going to build it back in 5 years, and he did. So president of the world, as far as I'm concerned. But I thought, I'll never see Notre Dame. They'll never get it rebuilt. It'll just sit there, you know, a ruined wreck. Now I'm kind of like, well, I'm kind of glad I didn't see it when it was old and dingy. Now I want to go see it when it's
bright and
all brightened up, because all those candles burning all those years. Here's the question, Bruce. If you were in charge of Notre Dame Cathedral, would you have electronic candles now, or would you let them burn old candles? Because that's what not that caused the fire, but that's what caused the walls to turn black. And now they're white. Would you let them burn candles? It's very traditional, but a lot of Catholic churches have gone to electronic candles because they don't want to clean up the mess.
You know that tradition is. It's hard for people to go away from it. You know, I would lean more toward the newer version, but I would think that tradition would be hard to break for a lot of people. So, you know, it's tough, isn't it? Especially in the Catholic Church and the tradition it has. So.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because so many churches now have gone to, for safety reasons, number one.
Yes, makes sense.
Electronic candles. But really, it's not safety because there haven't been a whole bunch of churches burned down because a candle that isn't a glass thing caught fire. But it's so dirty and sooty, and you don't realize it. One candle, it doesn't make a lot. But you get 20, 30, 40, 50 candles lit every day in one area, and there's different things all over the church. It just turns black
over a period of time. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, if you'd like to go to Scotland, Britain, well, Britain is Scotland.
Yeah, you're going to Scotland, Wales. You're going to then end up in England and London, and it's a wonderful, wonderful trip.
Wonderful trip. So if you'd like to make that trip, call Mecki Cosin at the Travel House of Quincy. Mm-hmm. Tell her you'd like to be on the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce trip, and you can also extend that trip to Paris, and many people are doing that because they figure it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, did you come today prepared to regale us with things? It's
kind
of an interesting time of year. You've got a couple of banquets coming up.
It is. Well, we got, you know, it's interesting. You get the end. Some people think, well, we've got a little bit of a lull, but it really ramps up in the next few weeks. Of course, we have our big annual meeting on the 15th, Mary, which is a huge event for us. And it's a time for us to reflect on 24 and where we've been, and then where we're going as a Chamber of Commerce and as a business community, and of course the biggest thing of this event is when we honor a couple local business people into our Business Hall of Fame, and we're so excited. I've been finishing up the videos for this, highlighting Carl Schmiedeschamp's career with the law firm, and also Tony Crane. And I told you this before, it's amazing what you find out about these folks as you dig into their history. Mm-hmm. And Carl's kind of, he's a tough one, but The folks over at the law firm and Dale Mitchell have been very helpful, and Carl was a wonderful attorney. He was an amazing attorney and one of the top attorneys in the Midwest. They said you didn't want to go up against him when you in the courtroom. But the other part of it is, as Dale said, he kind of had a rough exterior, but he did a lot of things behind the scene. And one of the things which I would think is amazing is the Quincy City Project, which a lot of people don't even know about because they don't really talk about it, which funds a lot of different wonderful nonprofits and things that need to be done in this community. He was real influential behind that, and he was influential with a whole lot of people in the past.
Right.
The Mormons, the Napides, Parker Gates. He was amazing, but he was a hard worker. Did a lot of things behind the scene, and was great for the community. So he's one, and then Tony Crane, which is. If anybody doesn't know
and
about Tony.
And he's still living. You know, the thing about it, poor, I mean, Mr.
Carl passed away in 88.
Yeah, yes. We're so glad we're honoring him. It's so wonderful, and I'm sure his downline will be there, and all his law firm partners will be there, and everybody will be there. But it's nice to also see somebody get the award that is alive and still contributing to our community, and
Tony,
and that's Tony
is,
Crane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He still works part-time whenever he can jump in the office at Architechnics. But he was so amazing, Mary. He was so emotional when he found out about it. I just couldn't believe it. And but his footprint and his in this community, most buildings you walk into has Tony Crane's hands on it, especially the one right across here I just came from, the Oak Lindsay Center, which started as his master's thesis
at the University of Illinois. Yeah. That's so interesting. Well, yeah, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, we talk about, and he also respects greatly the architect John Bania. And so many of, we're trying to save St. Boniface Church. Not that it's in danger of being torn down, but there's some talk about tearing it down. St. Mary's new hospital, the old hospital, stood longer than the new hospital there for a while. That was a Bania thing. So really, it's nice to start making an inventory, because someday, 50 years from now, we'll talk about the Tony Crane legacy. And we'll want to make sure that his legacy is preserved, too. So that's what the Chamber of Commerce does.
And it's amazing. His legacy, you said, is Quincy University. What he's done over there with St. Francis, I guess St. Francis Hall and the football stadium. He worked on several buildings there, the rec center, the student center. John Wood, he was part of the master plan for that whole area. He's done a lot of work over Culver Stockton, serves on the boards over there. It just goes on and on, and what he did. It's so tough to encapsulate what he's done, and that part is amazing. Then what he does outside of that,
right?
He's been part of so many boards and charities, big supporter of the chamber, great family man, wonderful guy, and we're just so glad to be able to honor him and Carl in this Hall of Fame.
It's not too late to get tickets, I assume.
No, I was going to say, go to our website. QuincyChamber.org, and we've got a great crowd. I think we're closing in on 250, 280 tickets, and hopefully get to 300, and it's just a wonderful day. We'll also honor our Young Professional of the Year, our Ambassador of the Year, our Small Business of the Year.
Do we know who those are yet?
Yes. Those are people that will become. They'll be surprised. Some of those are surprises.
Oh, okay. So
and some we do. I know our Young Professional is Morgan Parker over at Quincy Medical Group.
Okay.
We've got Caitlin Foss over at is our ambassador with the Clean Restoration.
She's wonderful.
Wonderful.
She's been
wonderful,
a great
wonderful.
Addition to our community. You know,
she is wonderful.
Some people live here, and I think that somebody comes here, somebody like Caitlin Foss comes here and realizes what a great community this is. Maybe sometimes more than the natives, because she's seen something else, you know. I laugh about sometimes it's hard, especially when you talk about architecture and significant architectural works in Quincy. If you haven't traveled a lot, you don't know that St. Boniface Church is very unique. You think that, well, I mean, gee whiz.
We're just
probably,
right here.
There's probably 100 of them, right?
Yes. There's not.
We're very unique.
So we're going to have a wonderful night. And then the other thing at that day, we're going to, I think he realizes it, Chuck Bubbleheimer, retiring from the city. I want to mention that, and he will be at our annual meeting. Chuck is, 28 years, and I can't say enough about what he's done for me.
Yeah, his service would have been 30 years, but he left for a short time to go back to Michigan, where he was originally from, I believe, or
yes,
where Jackie
was. Yes, he is. They're
so
from,
it's not contiguous service to the city, but it's almost 30 years.
Almost 30 years, and he's done a wonderful many things. I could tell you stories of how he's helped me. I came back to Quincy, and I hadn't been in the nonprofit world or in that role, and especially working with the city government, and he was so helpful and so patient, and also having to work, you know, for many bosses.
Well,
changing the bosses over the years.
I thought that Mayor Trope gave a great definition of what Chuck Bevelheimer's day-to-day was. He meets with developers on the sly. I mean, it's something that's not, you know, somebody calls, I want to build a big box store here.
Yep.
And what are you going to give me? What are you going to give me? What are you going to give
me?
I don't want that zoning. I don't want that. I don't want that restriction. I don't want that. I don't want to do that. What are you going to give me? And Chuck's like, well, now we can do this, 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 but we can't do this. Well, don't you want me to come? Yeah, we want you to come. But, you know, and then he goes to the city council and says, Big Box wants to come and they want this, this, and this. And they're in the city council's like, well, you can't give them that, that, and that. So Mayor Trump said Chuck was beaten up every day on both sides by both. Some wanted him to give more and some wanted him to give less. And he was always in that. He's always been very kind to me. Sometimes planning and zoning issues are very difficult for the average person to understand. And as a news reporter, my job is to try to make it understandable to the average Joe on the street. But one thing you can do if you really want to see where Quincy excels and where Quincy was before Chuck Bevelheimer, just drive out to the corner of 36th and Broadway. And everything east of there has Chuck Bevelheimer's fingerprint all over it. Wider lanes for traffic, turn lanes, center lanes, and in the parking lots, not just one big giant concrete or asphalt all the way from the front of the store to the sidewalk, but trees, landscaping, some water retention basins, you know, things that are good planning and good development that he was the first planner for the city of Quincy, and he brought that expertise to it. So those things are going to happen at this event. Call the chamber to get the tickets.
Give us a call. Come on out. Enjoy a nice lunch and be able to honor some wonderful people.
Anything else on your agenda today? I mean, we've got plenty of time. So if there's something else you want to talk
about,
there's
always stuff going on, Mary. We're just excited coming into this year. We got a lot of great things coming. Of course, we'll have we continue on our Leadership Institute that continues each month through May, the second class. Next week, we're actually on the 14th. We're going to be doing an entrepreneurial focus, and we're going to be doing it out at QU with the help of Roger Lienertz, who's kind of helped kickstart an entrepreneurial department at QU,
mm-hmm.
Which is just a wonderful type of a program.
And we have this local CEO program for the high schoolers. Do you happen to know how their drive-in movie thing works?
I heard it was just fantastic. And every time we had one chance to go and couldn't make it, I've been hearing great things about it.
Good.
That group is just wonderful. I am such a great supporter of that group and what they're doing. You know, Roger helped start that.
Right.
And then on
these are high school kids who come up with their own idea.
Yes.
And they come up with something interesting every year. One year it was a gift wrapping service. It's always got to be something around the Christmas time. It had to be Christmas themed, but they've got to make money that first semester, because then in the second semester they all start their own individual business.
Exactly.
Individually, so this is a group thing.
Yes.
So this year they came up with the idea of a drive-in movie.
You know what's so interesting about that, Mary? They voted for actually another type of project, but they said, there was a group of people said, we won't want a harder project. We want something that really challenges us. Can you believe high school seniors? You know, I'm just amazed.
Well, they got the challenge because the day they were opening,
challenge.
Their screen ripped or something, and they were out there fixing it in the
I
middle
heard
of the
it
day.
Was,
yeah.
Yes, and that's part of running a business. That's part of doing an event and having to handle all that. And they wanted a challenge. A great group of young people that get up every morning to go at 7:30, 7 o'clock to do these. They go to different businesses and people give them an idea of what real business is about. Wonderful group, wonderful organization. All the county schools are involved. I think they've got 20, 25 people involved.
Yeah,
in it.
it's really
a big group.
It's a very interesting and eclectic mix of women and men who are youngsters, young adults, who are at the various high schools throughout our area, who are learning how to run their own business, and hopefully they will open a business, and Bruce Guthrie can be proud of that in 10 years to come. Couple more minutes, two more minutes. What's your two-minute drill?
Well, we continue to support the business, this community, and we look forward to a wonderful year, Mary. We have a lot of as a chamber, we have a lot of wonderful projects and forums and seminars coming up. There's going to be some announcements coming soon, real soon, about some major programs and one in particular that we're going to be able to announce. And we're really excited about that, excited about all the new businesses come on board. We're here to help you. If you're a business, call the chamber. Call the chamber. We're here to help you, because we all know to be successful, you can't really do it on your own. You need help, and we have a lot of a whole lot of businesses who will help you. They're not they will reach out. Even businesses that are in your same business, they'll reach out.
And the competitors.
And
help each other,
I tell you what, the other thing we're really excited about is we just we closed on our new building before the holidays over at 501 Hampshire. The GREDF, the Economic Development Organization, our downtown Main Street program, the Chamber, will be moving in. We'll be roommates here. We'll start some construction work, hopefully in the middle of January, and move in March, April. And we're really excited about being downtown, being accessible for all businesses, one-stop shop. Come to the 501, we're calling it 501.
The 501, I like it. The 501,
you like that? Yes.
You get the 411 at the 501.
Well, you get the
401
at the 501, and we're excited. We're going to have a community room there on the corner where you see the old studio. That'll be a community room where we'll hold seminars and meetings, a brand new boardroom, and we're really excited about it for downtown, and excited about the excitement of the way this community is going from a business standpoint.
Everybody's excited about the trilogy there, GREDF, the Chamber, and the District, but I do have one insider remark from Brianna Rivera, the director of the District. She's very concerned that Bruce Guthrie and Kyle Moore will leave their dirty socks hanging around. She's not sure she wants to be... she's not going to pick up your dirty socks. She may be your roommate come this year, but she's not going to pick up your dirty socks, and you're responsible for your own dishes in the sink, okay?
That's the worry I have, especially for Kyle Moore. That guy, you never know what he's going to throw in the sink in there. So,
okay.
He's so
a good
Kyle,
cook.
Clean.
He gave his
I know,
recipe.
He's a great. He loves to cook. More power to him.
And he weighs. How come the people? Well, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's so slender and so fit.
But
yet he tells me, "Goes, oh, I put 18 pounds of butter and real cream."
I know he doesn't gain a pound. He's got a big couple weeks coming up, so he's
going to be our new state lawmaker.
I know.
So
you got any issue? Okay. Call Kyle Moore.
You know what? Now I better be really nice to him, because now he could actually do something to me.
Do something, Kyle. Yes.
Do something,
yes.
Kyle.
Real excited about it. I give him a lot of grief,
Kyle,
Mary. So
do
something, Kyle. Come
something,
on,
Kyle. Okay, we got to go. It's time for our farm market report. But speaking of Caitlin Foss, who was an ambassador of the Chamber of Commerce, she is a member of the American Business Women's Association, as am I. And we're having a meeting tonight right on the rail, right across
tonight.
The street here at 5:30. Come by and you can meet some people, and you can fellowship and network with us. And if you're a woman and you're looking to improve your business skills, listen up. This might be the group for you. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Oh, my gosh. It's always fun when people who I consider friends of mine come into the studio to talk about a charity that they love. Gary and Sue Winking are here. They are going on this trip that Bruce Guthrie was just talking about to Scotland, Wales, England. Are you going on to Paris?
Yes, we are.
Oh, of course you are. Of course you are. And they were just in Poland with me last year. Bears fan and I had the fun of being with Gary and Sue Winking on that trip to Poland, which was very, very interesting. And thanks to Gary's cell phone, because I'm too cheap to buy overseas connections, we were able to call back to the radio station every day. So I don't know what that cost you, Gary, but I guess WTAD owes you something. So here it is. This is your payback, a free appearance on the Mary Griffith Show. Aren't you thrilled?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, Sue's going to do most of the talking today, because we're talking about a chili cook-off tournament for the Mart Heinen Club at Quincy University. But we're going to get Gary involved towards the end of the conversation, because he's going to talk about what they do with all the money. So, Sue Winking, tell us a little bit about yourself. What brings you to the Mary Griffith Show today? This is one of the things that you're interested in, is chili.
Well, my husband and I do a lot of the concessions at QU with a lot of other dedicated people. And one of the big things we do every year is the John Funky Memorial Chili Cook-Off. And so this year will be the 35th annual. And it'll be Sunday, February 16th from 11 to 2 at the Health and Fitness Center.
Now, this has been going on for numerous years, as we all know, and it's a great competition. It's a great thing for people to come and compete in. It's a great thing for people to come and eat at. And, of course, it benefits. We'll talk a little bit about the Mard Heinen Club and what it benefits. But first, is it too late to enter if you want to be a chili cook-off person?
No, that's one of the reasons we're here, because we're trying to get the word out to have people contact us so they can contact the Mard Heinen office at 217-228-5432, extension 3528. And Gary will talk to you about it a little bit and send you information. We also have prizes for the day for first, second, third place, best soup, best booth theme, and people's choice. So people get a vote when they go and try the chili and think which one's is the best, and they get a prize for that. And we also have a raffle going on then with three prizes for a smart TV, all-in-one sound bar, and a Bluetooth wireless speaker that they can buy chances on that day, or they can. And then we also have the Cash Bash, which is $50 to get in, which includes a ticket for you to win up to $5,000 in cash.
Wow.
For that day. There's 21 prizes that day in the from $100 to $5,000, and you get in with that ticket. Two people get into the chili cook-off, and then they have four coupons that they can use for water, soda, or beer, and there'll be beer, mixed drinks, wine there that they can buy that day, people, so everybody comes and has a great time.
Okay, let's explain this again, because I want to make sure I get it. The $50 cash bash, you pay $50. That's admission for two,
right?
Drinks for two, and then you're entered into like a raffle. And talk about the prizes and how that works. Is there a limited number of tickets?
There's 400 tickets, and the 400th ticket is a thing that we draw out that day because people can buy more tickets if their ticket's already gone out, and they're, it's like a second chance winning, so they can get in there and then that ticket goes in with the last four or five tickets, and so it's a second chance to try to win one of the big prizes.
A frenzy at the end there by anybody who says, you know what, I know I'm close, but I'm just going to give myself a second chance.
Yep.
Well, obviously, I want you to give the number again, because people, you probably have had some businesses that have entered chili booths. You probably had individuals. What kind of people? I mean, this could be a family that has a chili recipe.
We have some family that does it every year. We have a couple businesses that donate the chili, and then we have some of our people serve it. We've had individuals that do it every year, and some people, they might not do it for a few years and then do it again. And we've had some of the coaches do it, and I do it just because we need extra people, but
that's okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's the question, Sue Winking, chef extraordinaire. Beans or no beans in
your
chili?
Well, I do the soup, so.
Okay.
But
so
I like beans in my chili.
Okay.
I know
okay.
some people don't like beans, but.
Okay. Well, it's a raging.
Yes.
Whether chili has beans or doesn't have beans. Some people say it's not chili without beans, and some people say it's not chili with beans. So we'll never solve that problem.
Yes, and some people like it hot and spicy to make you sweat. Some people like it sweet. So there's all kinds of combinations. I think one of the people that were there last year had like an Italian kick to it with the Italian spices in it.
Yeah, Italian sausage probably in it.
Yeah.
So everything is acceptable. So we want people to come and enter their chili recipe and see if you can be the best chili. A panel of judges will judge one, and then the people's choice is a different winner, right? Or is it
right?
Okay. So there'll be some culinary expertise, and then they'll be like, I don't care what you put in it. I like it, and I'm voting for it.
Right.
Or you're my friend, and I'm voting for it.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, it could be soap water. It could be Mary's. I put too much Dawn in the chili pot and didn't rinse it out, and it tastes like soap water, and there's bubbles on top.
Right.
So
and if you get enough people of your friends to vote for it, that might be the winner.
That
one.
Might
you
be the winner.
Know.
You know, I came in second one time in a... I came in second one time in a competition, and I have absolutely no skill whatsoever in what was being done. But I will tell you this. I had a lot of friends who voted for me, so I came in second. And it all went to charity, so it was good. It was very good. So let's go over the day again and the time parameters, because obviously the people that are cooking the chili are going to get there early, and they're going to, you know, either bring it where it's already kind of preheated, or they're going to cook it low and slow and get it going. So give us all those time parameters again.
Okay. For the chili people that are interested in entering, they can contact the Mart Heinen office at 217-228-5432, extension 3528. And the day of the event, we will have spaces set up for them with an 8-foot table, chairs, outlet, and cups, spoons, oyster crackers, napkins, and things like that. And they have to be there at 9:30.
In the morning.
And then the public comes in between 11 and 2.
Okay.
And then
and this date again, let's give the date one more time.
Okay, February 16th.
February 16th from 11 to 2.
At the Health and Fitness Center and Hall of Fame room.
Right,
at
in the Hall of Fame room there where the QU men's basketball and women's basketball team play there, but in the Hall of Fame room. So from 11 to 2 on January 16th.
February 16th.
I'm sorry. I'm getting way ahead of myself. February 16th. That makes sense. That makes it a weekend. That is going to be great. So what kind of crowd do you anticipate? What's been your typical? I know COVID really screwed the pooch on a lot of people saying we always get this many people every year, because that's really thrown our skewed our numbers off. But what would be a good crowd, Sue Winky? What would you hope would come?
What, a couple hundred? Yeah, a couple hundred people.
And how much does it cost to get in?
Okay, admission in is $5 per person or $10 for a family.
Wow. And so how many samples do you get then with that $5?
You can go to each one, and then you can come back and go again.
Wow.
We don't restrict you. You get a spoon, and you're supposed to carry your spoon with you, and you get a new cup at every one of the things. But a lot of people throw their spoons away after they've gone to two or three, you know, but so we have to give out another spoon. But you get a little cup from each place. And
may I bring my own? May I bring my own silver spoon so that I'm not tainted?
Yeah.
If I'm really a connoisseur, I don't want the taste, you know.
Yeah.
My brother used to have a mother of pearl spoon that would not taint anything with the taste of metal.
Right.
I'm like, you're a nut, but that's okay.
we have a couple people that have fashioned little cup holders that hold their chili cup and hold their beer or drink in it, and then they just eat out of that and walk around.
So there's some people that have really turned this into a semi-professional sporting event.
Right, and then the Hall of Fame's open if people want to sit down and eat their food.
Right. If you want to walk around, you can.
Yeah, and that's where the cash bash thing is, and that usually starts after 1 o'clock.
Okay.
In there, so.
Okay. Well, we're going to make Gary Winking talk whether he wants to or not, because you've been involved in Mart Heinen Club for a long time, and I can see while Sue is responsible for logistics that day, you're responsible for telling everybody why we should support the Mart Heinen Club and what you're going to use this money for. So please regale us, Mr. Gary Winking.
Well, in the past, you know, the most recent thing that we purchased was the starting blocks, or the blocks at the swimming pool for the swimmers, since that's a new sport, and that was around $12,000 to put in the starting blocks.
Wow.
And that includes the installation.
Never thought about how expensive something like that would be. Wow, wow, $12,000, that's great.
Yeah, you think about, you know, uniforms, there's not that much there.
No.
But, no pun intended, by the way.
Yeah. No, you meant that. I know what you meant.
Yeah, but before that, you know, our largest one was $20,000 to re-equip the athletics weight room, which they have a separate one from the one in the Health and Fitness Center that general public can use, because if we didn't, they take up all the machines and everything else, people wouldn't be able to use it.
Right. So, and obviously they want to, you know, do a specific kind of training that's probably a little bit more intense or a little bit more specific. So you're always keeping, it's always the athletic department. You're keeping the athletic department well-funded. It's like a booster club.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't really know who Mart Heinen was. You know, we're getting a whole generation now that doesn't really remember all that. Can you give us just a little history of who Mart Heinen was?
Mart Heinen was one of the early coaches and athletic directors at QU. And I'm trying to think of the year, if it was 1946 1945, I don't remember the exact year, the LaSalle Hotel fire in Chicago. He was in that with Mayor Schneiderman, and that was his death. The Booster Club started as a quarterback club in 1947 for the football team, and then expanded in 1954 for all QU athletics.
But, and when did they name it after Mart Heinen?
That would have been probably 1954.
Okay, great.
It was renamed.
So they realized that, you know, if they're going to do everything, you know, it was great to have a name associated with that. That's been a long time ago. That's been, you know, before many people were born. And so it's always good. I always say this is one thing, and the Bicentennial is bringing this forward. If you go to John Wood College and you don't know who John Wood is, you know, shame on you. You should have some curiosity. If you go to QU or if you live in Quincy and you hear about this all the time and you don't know who Mart Heinen is, well, not shame on you, but now we've educated you. So now you know. So you bought the starting blocks for the swimmers. You paid for the weight room for the QU athletics. What are some other kinds of projects you hope to get done, maybe?
Well, some of the other things we have done is we've renovated four locker rooms, the men's and women's volleyball and the men's and women's
basketball,
tennis.
Tennis, okay.
Yeah. We've renovated those locker rooms, and most recently we did the women's soccer locker room.
Okay, so it's very important if you're going to recruit to QU to have facilities that are impressive with people coming in. This is what Mart Heinen does.
Sure. Well, years ago, I shouldn't say years and years ago, but we did the softball complex, put a lot of money into there, and
okay, so it's very, very worthwhile. So we'll close it out with Sue Winking giving us the time and the date and the admission and just the one-minute drill of everything we need to know about the chili cook-off. Please.
Okay. The John Funky Memorial Mart Heinen 35th Annual Chili Cook-Off is Sunday, February 16th, 11 to 2 at the Health and Fitness Center and Hall of Fame, 19th and Oak. Admission for people coming that day is $5 per person or $10 for family. If you want to enter the chili cook-off for your best chili, contact the Mart Heinen office at 217-228-5432, extension 3528.
Okay, everybody come out. Everybody have a good time. Fill up your tummies with delicious chili. Of course, alcoholic drinks are extra.
Yes.
But some people, if they buy the bash tickets, get some free
alcohol.
Yeah,
they get a couple free beers and then some water and soda. And the one concession stand will be open, so if they want something else besides that. Besides chili.
They can have something
else. I think they might make pot dogs that day, or they might have the cheese machine on if they need some nachos or something like that.
Okay.
So, and candy, chips, soda, water.
It sounds like it's going to be fun. I wish I was going to the British Isles with you. Perhaps our paths will cross again as they did in Poland. That was such a fun trip. And I want to tell you, if you ever hear that Gary and Sue Winking are going on a trip, take that trip. You will have nothing but fun. They are delightful travel companions. Thank you both for coming in today. Mary Griffith Show done for the day. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all again. You guys enjoy January 2nd.
Okay, do you want to...